Beis Kislev, 20th of November, Rabbi David Shlomo Domelitz, the unique simcha of toiling in Torah.
Firstly, it's a pleasure, Baruch Hashem, to see people starting the day in a Torah way. I must say, Baruch Hashem, since the last 22 years since I've been living in London, Torah has increased immensely in Golders Green. So much more shiurim, so many more batei midrashim, more kollelim. It's amazing to see. I'd like to first thank Dudi Itzkowitz for giving me the honor to be able to speak here today, and Zevi Chesner for his professionalism. I'd like to establish a certain foundation to Torah learning today. I'll preface it with something which is seemingly simple, but we first have to realize that this is the truth. We know there's even psukim which that discuss Torah as being a happy thing, because Hashem Yishorim Sam Chilev. Clear pasuk which the Gemara says, because Hashem is referring to Torah learning, brings gladness to the heart. We know there's a pasuk we say on Shabbos, Anachmodim Mizav, Omipazov, Masukim Midvash. Torah is sweeter than honey. We know the Chofetz Chaim says in the Kutei Halachas that there's halacha in Yerideh, so we pay Zayin. If something treif gets into honey, after a certain amount of time it becomes totally mutter. Why? The power of honey is that the chemicals of the honey break down anything coming into contact with it. If you have enough honey, enough of a mound of honey, it can break down anything which comes into with its sweetness. And eventually that treif thing will be totally nullified, it will be totally obliterated, it won't exist. It will possibly become part of the honey. That so is the power of honey brought in halacha. So Chofetz Chaim says, you see, the power of the sweetness of Torah doesn't just mean sweet. When you talk about sweetness, the sweetness is powerful like honey. Just like honey has chemicals in it which breaks down all bad grains, all the difficult things. So to Torah itself, the sweetness is so powerful that it takes care of any difficulties in our character or which we have, may have inside us. That's the power of the sweetness in Torah. I'll bring a Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, which we've heard probably since Yeshiva Ketana days. Sounds rather scary, but if we look carefully at Rashi, there's something very special inside this Gemara. It says like this, Omer Rabbi Levi, Kol HaPoisek Medivrei Torah, anybody who stops, interrupts his learning, V'Oisek Medivrei Sicha, and he busies himself with talk, stam talk, shmuzing, Machin Loi Gachle Rishomi. They feed him burning coals. It's rather scary, right? Shenema, Hakoitfim Aloyach Ali Siach, Beshoish Shasamil Lachmo. The Gemara brings a pasuk. Hakoitfim Aloyach, someone who cuts off Torah Ali Siach for the purpose of just talking around, Shoyresh Shasamim, burning coals, Lachmo is their bread. Okay, that sounds pretty clear. The problem is, it's not clear where the word Torah is signified here. It says clearly, Ali Siach. You're trying to talk. It says koitvim, you're cutting off. It doesn't say Torah. It says akoitvim maloyach. Someone is cutting off maloyach, alei sicha, for the purpose of speaking. How does maloyach signify learning Torah? Maybe maloyach means salt. I don't know. Salted herring. Shmelz herring, maloyach, salt. So it's actually known. Maloyach, two words, dvorim, lachluchim, lash, and juicy things. Beikah, this is the name shot. Maloyach means lachluchis. Something which is luscious, juicy. Okay, well that's a very interesting way of describing Torah. Just say, Hakoitim Torah, someone who cuts off Torah for the purpose of speaking. Why do we suggest he's cutting off Maloyach, Lachluchim? Ah, Elamai, the Gemara sees Bishoy HaSamoydik Yisoy. We're not banging people and saying, hey, in the middle of learning, why did you stop? No, we're not saying that. We're saying something totally different. We're saying, why are you talking? You know, sometimes we come, we see people talking outside. Let's call it outside shul, yeah? Because box room inside shul is pretty good. Outside shul, you know, sometimes we see people talking, having good shmooze, and there's nothing wrong with it. People need to relax. What are they looking for, though? Often the person looking for something fresh, something geschmack, juicy. See the guy getting hyped up, getting all excited. He's looking for something juicy, something luscious, something, you know, geschmack, fresh. Ah! Says the Gemara Kuhn to Rashi. Do you realize what you've done? Hakoit the Maloya! You've cut off the most luscious, juicy thing in the world. That's Torah. For speaking. You're looking for something juicy. You're looking for something fresh and luscious. Lachluchis. It's there, it's all in the Torah. The complaint here is not because somebody spent his time, it's not time-wise, instead of learning these 5 minutes, so he decided to talk. It's something a lot deeper. It's because he's been mevatel the very essence of Torah learning. He's trying to say Torah is a very chash mezach. You know what, I want something nice, something juicy, something geschmack, so I want to have a schmooze. No, you've got to understand. If you refer and understand the Torah the right way, there's nothing more juicy and luscious than the Torah itself. What are you going there to talk for? You're cutting off Torah. Not you're cutting off the amount of time of Torah learning. You're cutting off the essence of Torah by suggesting that schmoozing around is more juicy than Torah learning. Delve into Torah, you'll understand there's nothing more juicy and luscious than that. So this, Rabbi Yisai, is a preface. There's no question about it. The idea of learning Torah isn't just a command. It's not. It's also because it's the most sweetest thing, the most lush thing there is. It's supposed to give us real enjoyment. So, the next step I would like to bring out, which is this big foundation of Torah learning, is a little bit of a chiddush perhaps. We look around and we say, well, that sounds very, very nice. But we don't always feel it's happening to us. We say, well, I'd love to feel it that way. Honestly speaking, if I would feel the Torah's luscious and juicy, I definitely would do that. I would do less schmoozing around or wasting time, but give it to me. So firstly, I'd like to bring out Big Yisoid here. We say in davening every day, which is a Pesuk in Tehillim Kuf, Ibdu es Hashem besimcha. Serve Hashem with happiness. Okay, we're talking about serving Hashem in all sorts of ways. Davening, learning is part of it, there's all sorts of ways of serving Hashem, do it happily. So, Poshchat we learn, serve Hashem, number one. Now there's an item, how do you serve Hashem? Besimcha, with joy. However, the Sifri, which the brothers are going in the Sefer Maris HaTorah brings down, says, if there is Hashem besimcha, zu Torah. Referring to Torah learning. So questions asked, well, we know serving Hashem can be done in all sorts of ways. You can double it serving Hashem, Kabbalah is to be serving Hashem, Midas Toibis is also serving Hashem, doing a good deed. How is it signified here? In the words, if there was Hashem besimcha Torah, we done this every day. I tell you the truth, you know, I've been davening for many years. I never understood that if Hashem is only referring to Torah. There may be various pshatim, but according to the Sifri, it's signifying Torah dafka. Why? How? We see from the Sifri something very great over here. So usually when you serve Hashem, toil is understood in a way of life, something which is strenuous, perhaps it sometimes has hardship. We say tirda, tircha, amelos. That's hard, toiling, sweat. That's not where the joy is. Usually it's the outcome, the toitzah, that's where we get the simcha from. So if we're working very hard, well, we got money. Or we work hard and getting a customer, oh, so we got the joy. Wow, I've got another customer. Usually when we're toiling, we're working, the happiness doesn't come from the toiling itself. It's from the result. It's from the item we gained by toiling. Torah is the only thing where the serving itself is mesameach. It brings joy and happiness. Not just the result of how much do I know, have I become a Talmud Chacham, do I understand the whole shir. The toiling in Torah itself is mesameach. And the Sifri is understanding that the poshchat here is not as we understood that there's 2 points. Namely, we understood if there is Hashem, first serve Hashem. How? You can do it all sorts of ways. Do it besimcha. No. Says the Sifri, there's a certain type of avoider which his whole essence is Ibdus Hashem besimcha. It's a simcha type of serving. Says the Sifri, that there's only one thing I know that could possibly be. That's Torah itself. Where the toiling itself brings me joy and excitement, the working, the hardship, before I've reached, you know, a particular place of a whole Mishnah, a whole Da'at, a whole Perik, a whole Masechta, just the toiling itself, which brings me joy and excitement, there's only one thing in the world, that's Torah. Other boy, you have to get the result. This is a very, very special thing, which is signified in Ibdu as Hashem Simcha, according to the Sifri. Okay, but then we ask, that's got us into more of a pickle. You're going to tell me, listen, you just told me now, you gave me a whole introduction about there's nothing more luscious and fresh and beautiful and simcha than Torah. Then you said, well, let's see how to do it. Then you bring me something even harder to understand, Ibdu as Hashem Simcha, if you toil in Torah, that brings Simcha. And you're going to tell me, yes, but we've done that too. We've done that, and sometimes it brings joy, sometimes it doesn't. And this is what I want to bring out now, the main concept which the Bi'ur Hagra in Mishli, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis and Chof Gimel, speaks out. The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon explains that many people, they're mevatel from Torah, and they fall away from Torah learning, And who could know better than the Vilna Gaon, who was the Baal HaTorah? And the Vilna Gaon says the main reason is they were seeking Mesikus HaTorah. Well, that's very good. That's what we're talking about now, isn't it? So what's wrong with that? So the Vilna Gaon, but they weren't willing to toil enough to get that Mesikus. Alright, that's very good. That's also what we just said now. You have to toil to get the joy. But here, the Vilna Gaon adds in the missing ingredient. He says, people need Havana, depth of understanding. There's understanding, there's understanding. There's understanding which is a basic understanding, and there's understanding which resonates within us. Everyone has their own way of understanding as well. And that understanding gives a depth of joy, of fulfillment. A person understands Torah with its depth. That's the real way of connecting with the Torah. So the Gaon says, the ingredient is as follows. We need to have the secrets of Torah. We have to feel the beauty and the sweetness of Torah. But in order to do that, we need something called Havana. Depth of understanding, which resonates with inside us, what we really understand it. When we have that, says the Gaon, but in order to get that, we've got to toil. We have to do our Melus for Torah. It's not just that, oh, we're doing our Melus for Torah, we get the Simcha. The idea of toiling in Torah has to really be done in our way. Everyone has a different way of thinking. Everyone understands slightly different. According to Vilna Gaon, what we have to be trying to do is finding either a shiur, or a rabbi, or chavrusa, where we're going to find that resonates with inside the way he's speaking, the way he's explaining something that speaks to us, that resonates inside us. It's that type of understanding and toiling and learning, which that toiling itself, as we're toiling, a type of toiling which brings depth of understanding, every step of the way of toiling in the bringing a form of understanding, that's the type of avoda of Torah which brings simcha. That's what brings joy to us. We might not have the full understanding yet, but it's the type of toiling which is what we call an understanding type of toiling. We're trying to understand what's going on. Not just, we don't know what in the world is going on over here. We understand basically, we're trying to understand a bit better. What's behind this? Why is Rabbi Yeshua really saying that and Rabbi Eliezer saying that? Okay, you could say like this, you could say like that. That's like a yo-yo. When we start to understand the depth of what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, then we say, so what's Rabbi Eliezer saying? So we work at it. It might be a Rashi. It might be someone who have to help us in the Rajbo. It doesn't matter what it is. Ah, now I got it. Then you understand what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Then we understand the point of the argument. Then you understand the depth of that. Rabbi Eliezer brings a very special excitement and a freshness and enjoyment that, wow, we feel connected. And I want to tell you, that going initially, the next pasuk after, Hashem was actually complaining to the Yidden. I'm telling you, starting from the Gaon. The Gaon's reading up Sukkim Mishli, where it's complaining about the Yidden who are running away from Torah because they don't get the enjoyment, because they go in the depth of understanding because they don't toil in it. Hashem says after that, in the following passage, I will help you. V'osim es tvarai, and it says over there, V'oidia es tvarai itchem. V'oidia es tvarai itchem. I will bring you the knowledge of my words with you. Very strange type of loshen. First of all, V'oidia means loshen of yidir. The Chayra knowledge is not what we're talking about. According to Vilna Gaon, we're discussing the depth of understanding. Knowledge is one thing and understanding is another. So when Hashem is trying to help you and come forward, he says, I will help you with the understanding, seemingly. He says, Vaidya, I will make let known my words with you. Also, what's my words with you? Vaidya stvorai itchem. You say, I'll help you know Torah. Ah, here's a big thing, Rabbi Yisai. We know that in Loshna Kodesh, Loshna of Yedir does not just signify knowledge. Vayeda Odom Eschava Ishtoi means connection. Chibur. It's the full partnership, like Vayeda Odom Eschava Ishtoi. From the Rambam, the Gaon, Chaim Lozhner, all the Makaris say, the depth of Yedir and Das is total connection, total connection, total Chibur. Total partnership, total joining on. What the Pasuk in Mishlei is saying is, Hashem says, you don't really understand what I'm saying here, I'm going to help you out. Vayeda, I'm going to give you the idea of the Torah, I'll help you understand the depth of the Torah, I'm going to give you that help, says Hashem. You'll get Siyata Lishmaya. But I want you to understand it's in the idea. It's giving you ideas, it's giving you connection to Torah. What I'm really trying to get to you is, you're not properly connected. So what we're really saying is, this toiling in Torah, which is this unusual thing which brings a moridika amount of joy, and a moridika amount of simcha, which is to do with giving understanding and depth of Torah, really it's about of idea, it's about of connecting, chibur, absolute, joint with the Torah. A person becomes totally connected. When a person becomes connected with something, he makes a relationship with it. Torah, the Gemara says it like a wife. Torah tivlon amoshe merosha, al tikim rosha elem ma'ayrosa. Engaged. Torah becomes a relationship. That is what brings a real, real joy and happiness and simcha when we're toiling in Torah because we're making a powerful effort, each one to our own. We can do it in a shiur, we can do it in a small shiur, we can do it in a half an hour a day. We can do it even in a quarter of an hour learning session. But when we make that effort and we're trying to understand in depth what's going on, the depth of that joy is we've made a deep relationship with Torah. Like Moirosh and Moirosh are like a wife, and we make that relationship, that is when we get connected. And when we're connected with Torah, that's what keeps us going, and we can continue to feel the sweetness. I'll just say a story over which my Rebbe, Zechayin of Rocha, Moshe Shapir, Zechayin of Rocha, still in the year, Tespateves, is a Yahrzeit, he was the one who witnessed this story with Reb Shach, Zechayin of Rocha. It was snowing Yerushalayim, an unusual occurrence, and Moshe was walking down the street, not far from the house of the Briskerov, and he sees a figure in the distance seemingly jumping around. I think that's real funny, maybe someone, you know, having a snowball fight, gets closer, looks like someone with a beard, you know. Someone with a beard, he's saying, well, someone with a beard is probably not making a snowman. So he looks around, and he sees, he can't believe it, this is Reb Shach. And he's actually dancing in the street, in the snow. Now he's definitely not dancing for the snow. So what is he dancing about? What is going on over here? So he approached Reb Shach and asked, why is the Rebbe so excited? So he said, I just came out of the house of the Briskerov, and he told me this most beautiful shtickle. You should know, really, when I come out of the Briskerov's house, he always says wonderful. Briskerov was known for its incisiveness, the depth of learning, and the emes. And the joy of Shach got from that depth of learning was so special. Said Reb Shach, I feel like dancing in the street every day when I come out of this house. But you know, it's pasnish. People wouldn't understand. I'm jumping around the street dancing. They'll think I've lost the screw. So, I can't do it. But today it's snowing. There's no one around. I came out. There's no one around. So I do what I would naturally do every day. I'm just dancing from the happiness of Torah. That's what my Rebbe used to say over that he personally witnessed this story. Reb Shach's outburst of enjoyment from learning. But Reb Shach learned, as we know, in full depth. So that the Biskarov, he got the Torah. Biskarov toiled very, very hard for many hours to come out even with a small piece of Torah. It wasn't wobbling off. You know, you can look things up and say all sorts of things over. Biskarov, as you do, he worked very hard to come out with a small shtickle, but it should be emes, it should be in depth, it should be full of simcha. And that's what happened. And it passed into Reb Shach, and there he goes. Dancing in the streets. I don't say we need to dance in the streets, that's Reb Shach's Madrega. You know, we dance inside us. When we're really happy, something inside us resonates and it lifts us up for the whole day. And Moshe Chayin of Rocha, he also told me once, he told me personally, that, as you know, Aaron Kotler used to come from America once a year to Eretz Yisrael. It was Negev to trying to get Yidden to vote for the front parties, which, you know, at that time of Gdolim very, very much wanted. And Aaron used to come and used to give a shir in Eitz Chaim, shir in Torah. Aaron Kotler came, everyone used to come to the shir. And Moshe said, he was sitting on the same bench as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He said, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, in the sugyas which Reb Aaron was discussing, he knew them inside out in the back of his hand. These were the yeshivas, the sugyas which Reb Chaim Shmulevitz put extra attention to, extra focus. He knew every single alleyway, every single nook and cranny in those sugyas, he knew upside down. Reb Aaron was speaking, he said to Reb Moshe, I'm 100% certain Reb Aaron with this whole shir wasn't mechadish that much to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Actually, Reb Moshe used to learn with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz many hours, so he knew exactly who he was. Says Reb Moshe, he was hard of hearing. He was sitting at the end of my bench, pulling his ears, desperately trying to hear what Reb Aaron was saying. Says Reb Moshe, what was he trying to listen to? I assure you, says Reb Moshe, he knew come out everything. He says, perhaps Reb Aaron will add on a tiny dimension, something which he hasn't yet grasped yet. So that, he says, the greatest Chaim Shmulevitz sat there with everybody else on the bench. He sat there like a regular younger man, sitting on the edge of the bench, scratching his ear, pulling it just to, he was hard of hearing, to try and hear, perhaps he's going to gain that extra insight somewhere. Torah Moshe, that was the joy. Moshe told him, at least Sadiqim got, he's telling me the Chaim got. If they got something extra, it'd fill them up totally. He also told me that he once went to visit Rabbi David Povarsky, Zechayin of Rocha, one of the Shivas of Polovich, from the Mitter. And he comes in. David Povarsky had a tremendous library of Sforim. And he says to Moshe, you know, I once had an opportunity to see Reb Chaim Brisker. Chaim Brisker was passing by a near town to where my yeshiva was. And all the Bokharim naturally went to meet Reb Chaim. If he was passing by on the train, there would be a stopover to be able to see Reb Chaim Brisker, the genius of the generation who was Mechadish, bringing out the depth of learning, which we have till today, all the yeshivish world. He said, I didn't go, I was the from one. Someone has got to be the from one, you know, someone's got to stay in yeshiva. So it was me. Stayed in yeshiva to carry on the learning while everybody went. And he missed Reb Chaim. said to Rav Pavas, he said, I'll give all this away, he said in Yiddish, if all else away again, I'll give away my whole library to Zendem Chaim Emel, just to see if Chaim Brisker one time. He said, I've been crunked from them. He says, I'm ill. I get ill over it that I missed the opportunity to see Rav Chaim Brisker that one time. Explained Rav Moshe to me, there wasn't that much time there. Stop over if I was going to say Shalom, maybe you'd catch like a little tiny word of learning in. Said Rav Moshe, I do not think what Rav David meant was he was going to speak to Rav Chaim Eleni. There wasn't going to be time. Rav Moshe said that Rav David Vasily felt looking at someone as unique as Rav Chaim, where the whole Kol by him was in a higher level of learning, a higher depth, a higher simcha, that Rav Dov Vasky felt would have lifted him up to a higher level of learning. Just by experiencing this person, whose level in Kol HaTerikula is on a much more profound level, and everything he touched. Just seeing such a type of person would have given him the cheshek and the push-up to strive even more to get that depth of Torah and that simcha HaTerah. So very deep. This is what Moshe told me. The Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Yutesim Abeis, which discusses one Lamayroim. You look at the Gemara, it's quite a simple Gemara, trying to work out Makoy, bring a drush from a pasuk, and it says, Tzav Uponov, his face lit up. His face lit up! From a seemingly insignificant, nothing's insignificant in Torah, but the small drush. So Rashi, Tzav Uponov, Mipnei Simcha, enjoyment. Because Tzav Utam Hogan Shoma, he thought that he'd heard a good reason. And the Gemara's going to ask a question on it. The Gemara asks a question, Opfregs, this drush. Nevertheless, the Gemara feels necessary to point out, Sahar upon of his face became enlightened, full of joy. Why is Rashi? He felt that he'd heard a Tam Hogan, a good reasoning. Ah, see, it's only from good reasoning. He was learning. The Gemara deems it necessary to point out there's something extra called Sahar upon of the face lighting up for learning. That's when we hear something, a good reason, something which resonates inside us. That's bringing the joy. They say Rabbi Shulei Diskins, a Chayin of Rocha, when he came to Eitzol, he actually wanted a high insight. Shulei Diskin was the Goyim of the generation. His depth of learning, his power in learning. People say that he had the courage to count the leaves on a tree. He had the courage to count the leaves on a tree. They say this is a special matana he had. He was a giant. His genius was unparalleled. It was totally not understood at all. He had a photographic memory. He could see something. They say, the leaves on a tree? Shulei Diskin can look and he could say how many leaves were there. It sounds extraordinary, but either way, even if it's not quite true, I wouldn't know, but his extraordinary genius was something unparalleled. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he actually wanted to hide it. How did they start to find him? Apparently he was sitting at a chasana, and someone said, a gesunter Wort, lernen. Sounds like a real good Wort. And Poshet, if Shalevi was listening, you know, he thought listening is not a problem. No one can see what I'm understanding or not. And Poshet's face lit up from joy. So all of a sudden, one time Yichab said, well, what's this guy smiling about? Yichab the Vot. I mean, this is a deep Vot here, you know. Looks like he's sort of trying to make himself beggarish, you know. But they start to find out, until eventually they cough on. This is the dear Rabbi Shulei Diskin. And, in other words, the whole revelation of Shulei Diskin came about simply from the Tzav upon him. He couldn't contain his joy in hearing a good Svara and learning. Good Svara and learning. We know the Gemara and Tiny stuff, Laman says, it says on this, you know, on Tishba we're not allowed to learn the joyous parts of Torah. It brings joy. Now I want to tell you something. What about things which are not Gishmak? Eoi, Yirmiya. The Gemara says, and it's Kepasna Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, Simon, Kof, Kof, Nun, Dalet, that we may learn that on Tishba. Eoi, Yirmiya, Dvorim Haroim, it's called. Seemingly difficult parts of Klai Yisrael, we got punished. That we are allowed to learn on Tishba. However, says the Taz in his Kapaskan in Mishnah Berurah, he says, to learn it in depth, that you're not allowed to do, even though hard things which Lechayim make us sad and don't bring us joy, that you must not do even on Tisha B'Av. Because the whole thing is, because Hashem Yishorim Mesam Chilei. The words of Torah bring joy. So what are we saying? That difficult parts like Yirmiyah and Eoi, they don't bring joy. That's fine, that fits in with Tisha B'Av. But if you learn in depth, says the Taz, you can take the most difficult thing, the most unhappy idea, the most complicated thing, and you can make it joyous, and that you can't do even on Tisha B'Av, even to learn Yirmiyah. Now let's just go a little bit deeper, and this is what we're talking about really. The Lashon of the Pasuk is Pekudei Hashem, sorry. The words of Hashem are Yoshar. They're right, Mesam Chilev, they're Mesamech Lahar. So what does it have to do whether you learn it deep? If you don't learn it deep, I don't understand. If the Pasuk is signifying, do you know why it's Mesam Chilev? Do you know why it makes us happy of heart? Because B'kudei Hashem Yishorim. They are Yashar. When a person has something which is Yashar, it makes him happy. So what's it got to do with something which is raw? Doesn't make you happy. But if you learn it deep, it does. Is it Yashar? Is it not Yashar? The puzzle seems to signify it's got to do with Yishorim. Because Dibur Torah are Yashrus. Oh, this is what we're talking about, Rabbi Yisai. You see, for me, the words of Torah are definitely what they are. That doesn't need me and you. But if you want to connect to it, you have to be there. Because the Hashem are Yishorim. They are right. They are right. You can see the Yashrus inside them. They are Mesam Chilein. But are you there? If you just babble it, by Yvonne Ram, it's not going to bring you there. If you learn it in depth, what you're really doing is you're becoming connected to the words of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim. Then, as it says in the Pasuk, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Amasam Chenei. But, seemingly, we've got to become connected. And says the Taz, when we learn in depth, it can be anything in Torah. You can pick any subject, any topic. If you learn it in depth and understand it, and the way you understand it and work on it, that type of simcha is because you've connected to the Pekudei Hashem Yisharim. The words of Torah are what they are, but Rabbi said we have to become connected with them. And that's all what we're trying to do, Be'ez Hashem, all of us who learn, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, whether it's twice a day, which is the best, signifies we should try and do it in the day and the night, which would seem to mean we better do half an hour and half an hour, so we have a little bit of learning in the day and in the night, everyone to their own. But we must try and find a way of connecting to the Torah, each one to their own, so it should resonate, and the toiling itself should bring us the joy and the Masikos HaTorah.
Go, go, go.